We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Genesis chapter 19, and we could read again verse 17. Genesis 19 and verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Escape for thy life, look not behind thee. When you're young or middle-aged and you're healthy and well and everything's going fine for you, it's easy to forget that one day you're going to die. And then there's the never-ending eternity. Life seems to go on forever, and we have a natural tendency to just drift along from day to day. We don't generally think we're going to die. Eternity seems a long way away, and yet it's not. It's amazing how close to us eternity is, how quickly our life here can come to an end. We hear on our news all sorts of tragedies that befall people and criminal activity and terrorists and all sorts of things. And so many people are knocked down by cars, and there's people who have brain tumors and aneurysms that burst and strokes and all kinds of illnesses and heart attacks. And we never know just when our life is going to come to an end. And that's why Jesus says to us over and over again, watch and pray. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare for the great eternity. We don't know what day we're going to be called from this world, but if we are ready, if we have Christ, then we do not need to fear. You remember how in Luke chapter 13, Jesus was told about certain people whom Pilate, the cruel Roman governor, had massacred. They were up at the temple offering sacrifices, and Pilate mingled their blood with their sacrifices. Jesus asked the question, do you think that these Galileans were greater sinners than all Galileans? Is this why this tragedy befell them? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Why did it happen to the Galileans? Well, one reason certainly was so that other people, you and I, would take heed and prepare and be ready. And then Jesus adds, just think of the 18 people who were walking past the Tower of Siloam when it fell on them and killed them. Do you think that they were bigger sinners than others? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. How important it is for us to repent. Turn from our sins, turn from our carelessness, and prepare. Jesus tells us of the days of Noah, how they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Life was going on as it always did. Noah had been preaching for 120 years, and then one day he entered into the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them. Or think about those on whom the fire and brimstone came in the days of Lot. In the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it, till the day that Lot left Sodom. And then God rained upon them fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. These things, they're warnings. They're pointing forward to the end of the world. When will the end of the world come? The end of your world, my world, may well come with death, but we don't know when the end of the world will come. When Jesus was on earth, he didn't know, in his human nature, he didn't know when the end of the world would be. The important thing is, be ready. When Christ comes again, he'll come as a thief in the night. One day we went to bed, not expecting anything unusual to happen. In the middle of the night, four thieves entered our house. Thankfully, there was no great disaster, but how quickly, how unexpectedly the thieves come in. And how quickly one day this world will come to an end and you and I will be standing before the judge of all the earth to whom we must render our account. Well, here we have, first of all, a doomed city. God is looking at this world. He's watching everything that takes place. He sees the sin, the wickedness that's going on. And he particularly was watching this city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admon and Zeboim, the towns of the plain area to the south of what is now the Dead Sea. God saw the wickedness. In Genesis 13 and verse 13, we're told about Lot choosing to pitch his tent towards Sodom. It was a very prosperous, lush part of the country. But we're told that the men of Sodom were exceeding wicked before the Lord. Very wicked. God could see it. And so God sends down eventually two angels to see what Sodom was really like. Well, of course, God knew. God knew everything about Sodom, knew every individual and every single sin they'd ever committed. God knows everything there is to know. God is not discovering anything new. He knows everything that will ever happen till the end of time, until the end of eternity. God's knowledge is infinite. It's completely comprehensive. So God didn't need to find out, but he sends his angels. He speaks in a human way so that Abraham, you remember how in the previous chapter he's telling Abraham how he's going to destroy Sodom, and Abraham intercedes and prays for Sodom. He's showing to Abraham, he's showing to Lot and to Lot's daughters the wickedness of Sodom. And he's showing, yes, showing to the people of Sodom themselves how much they deserved the wrath and curse of God. And he's showing to us too. So these two angels come in the form of men. They come to Sodom and they were going to camp in the street of Sodom. But Lot's sitting there in the gate, and we're told to be ready to entertain strangers, because thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Lot didn't know when he asked them into his house that they were angels, but later he discovered it. It's good to be hospitable. Lot persuades these two angels to come into his house, and he makes them a feast. But before they're able to lie down for the night, the men of Sodom gather round the house. Old and young, from every corner of the city they gather. And they show their great wickedness, immorality and violence. Sodom is, of course, noted for a certain sin of sodomy, which is such an abomination unto the Lord. So wicked, so evil in his sight. And the men of Sodom were engaged in this immorality, and they wanted to immorally attack these two angels that had come to Sodom. It's interesting how in prophecy of Ezekiel we're told about Sodom. And we're told about the sin of Sodom, but there's no mention of homosexuality there. Ezekiel 16, verse 49, we're told that Sodom was characterized by pride, fullness of bread, an abundance of idleness. But like our own country, isn't it? Pride. How much pride there is around in Britain. And indeed, how much pride there is in the immoral people who march up and down the streets of our city with our pride marches, showing forth their shame. Pride. Abundance of bread. Yes, we have lots of food, lots of luxury, plenty of everything in this country. An abundance of idleness. Well, Satan always finds things for idle hands to do, doesn't he? There's a great danger in having too much leisure time, because Satan's always ready to come in. In a sense, Sodom and Gomorrah weren't really that different from Britain today. There's so much immorality in our country. Marriage is despised. Most of the children born in our country today are born out of marriage. All kinds of immorality is practiced, and not in secret, but openly and defiantly. Not just that, but all kinds of wickedness going on and violence in our country. Turning away from God, a trampling of his gospel underfoot, a despising of him, blaspheming his name. All kinds of false religions and wickedness going on. Would it be surprising if God sent fire and brimstone upon Britain today? Surely not. God sees the wickedness of Sodom. He sees the violence that's going on. He sees those lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. You and I have been created to glorify and enjoy God. But instead, sadly, we glorify and enjoy ourselves. My pleasures, my rights, my freedom, my body. I can do what I like. My human rights. No human responsibility. No, it's all human rights. My rights. I've got a right to everything. But no, God is there. God has made us. God's our creator. God rules over us. And one day, whether we like it or not, God's going to judge us. It's a bit like it was in the days of Noah. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and took to them whoever they wished. There was immorality going on. Even those who made a profession of religion were immoral in Noah's day. God told Noah how he saw the wickedness of the world. Every imagination of their heart is only evil continually. From their youth up, God determined to destroy the world, but in his mercy, he told Noah, and he told him to build an ark, a huge boat which took him 120 years to build. And during that time, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't just building the ark. He was preaching the gospel and calling people to come and join him in the ark and escape from the coming flood. But they despised him. They rejected him and his message. Eventually, Noah went into the ark and his family and the animals. And God shut the door. And then the rain came. And no doubt then the people came rushing to the ark, banging on the door. Let us in! Noah, let us in! Please, please let us in! Too late. God shut the door and I can't open it. You had your day of grace. You had your time of opportunity. Think of the five foolish virgins. They were too late when they came with the oil in their lamps. And they knocked at the door and they said, let us in, let us in. Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Will you be too late in seeking the Lord? Too late. How terrible. Eternally too late. God saw the wickedness of Sodom, and God determined to destroy that city. It was a doomed city. Do you remember how in Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan talks about the world as the city of destruction. Every one of us are born, as it were, in the city of destruction. And if we don't flee from that city, one day the clouds of God's judgment will burst upon the city, upon us, and destroy us, a doomed city. But then secondly, we have here a clear warning. The angels speak to Lot in verse 12 and say, "Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Lot, do you have any relatives? Do you have sons-in-law in this place, daughters? Go, tell them. God's going to destroy this place. And we're told that Lot went. He went and spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. It was a joke, jesting. They had a laugh about it. God going to destroy this place? No, no, no. God's not going to do that. Sodom's a lovely place, and we're lovely people, and everything's fine, everything's fine. Who ever heard of a city being destroyed by God in that way before? God won't do it. God is love. God is love. You know, there's so many people like that today, and you warn them of the danger. You tell them of the hell to which they're going. And they laugh and they smile and they think, "Oh, well, yes, yes, but God won't do that to me. That won't happen to me." And really, there's no God. There's no afterlife. When I die, I'll just be buried. That's the end of it. So all that matters is this life. And well, if there is an afterlife, I'm sure I'm not a bad enough person to end up in hell. I try my best, and lots of people worse than me in the world. I think it'll be okay. I'm sure it'll be okay. Nothing to worry about. All this fire and brimstone preaching, it's, well, you know, that's just old-fashioned stuff. Is it old-fashioned or is it the truth? When God gives us a warning, are we to take it seriously? Are we to take it to heart and listen to what he's saying? Or do we just forget about it? In one ear and out another, a clear warning came. God was determined to destroy Sodom. The next morning the angels say to Lot, "Hurry up, get out of this place, it's going to be destroyed." And Lot lingered. He lingered. He had chosen to come to Sodom. He desired the wealth. You remember how he was living with his uncle Abraham. How privileged he was. In that household they would be worshipping God, Abraham, the father of the faithful. But he was prospering and he was making his money and everything was going so great. And then, you know, their flocks and their herds were so many that the herdsmen were quarreling. And Abraham said, "Well, you choose which way you want to go and we can separate." What should Lot have done? Definitely he should have got rid of some of his herds in order to have continued in that blessed household. But instead he looked round and he thought, "How can I make loads of money? It's amazing how people want to make money. And no matter how much they make, they want a little bit more. More money. More possessions." And he saw Sodom, a fertile valley. And he thought, "I'll pitch my tent towards Sodom. Even although it's exceedingly wicked, well, I won't go to live in Sodom, but I'll live in a tent nearby." And you notice that later on, he moved into Sodom, and he had his house in Sodom, and he even sat in the gate of Sodom. amongst all these wicked people. He sought to make money. And you know, at the end of the chapter, what a sad picture we have. We have this man who had all these flocks and herds, all these servants, all the wealth and riches, and he had to leave it all behind. And he and his two daughters are living in a cave. What a lesson that is for us. Seek wealth, and you may well end up in poverty. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Make God your priority, and God will bless you. Make this world your priority, and God will curse you. God was a good man, but he was a good man who suffered because he made a bad choice. Take a lesson. Next, we see here a woman who perished. Jesus says to us in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Do you remember her? She's a monument. She's a pillar. A pillar with an inscription written at the bottom. Lot's wife. Remember her. She was living in Sodom. She loved Sodom. And God was very merciful to her. And the angel took her by the hand when she was reluctant to go. And took Lot by the hand. And took the two daughters by the hand. And the two angels, as it were, half dragged them out of Sodom, set them on the right way to the city of Zoar. Escape for your life. Don't look back. Don't look back. But oh, the grip that Sodom had upon her. She loved her house in Sodom. She loved the fashions in Sodom. She loved her friends in Sodom. She loved her parties in Sodom. She loved the pleasures of Sodom. She left Sodom, but her heart was still in Sodom. What a lesson. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She's a warning, warning to you, warning to me. Where is your heart? Is your heart in heaven? Or is it in Sodom? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you treasure? What do you value? What means most to you? What's the thing that excites you most in this world? That's where your heart is. What excites you most in this world? There's your heart. Think of the children of Israel. There they were in the land of Egypt, under the lash of the taskmasters. They sighed and they groaned. And the Lord heard their sighing and groaning and sent Moses to deliver them. And you remember how they were taken out of the land of Egypt by God's powerful arm? 10 devastating plagues coming upon the Egyptians. How they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, and the Egyptians pursuing them were drowned. They made their way through the wilderness, and God fed them with bread from honey, bread from heaven, and water from the rock. But then some of them yearned after the flesh pots of Egypt, the fish and the onions and the garlic, the things that they used to eat in Egypt. And they were kind of disgusted at this light bread. The best food out. You couldn't get better food than manna. It had everything you needed. Moses living on manna didn't age one day. At the age of 120, he could see as well as ever, and his strength was as strong as ever. What amazing food manna was. Heavenly food. But they despised it. and they longed for the flesh pots of Egypt. Are you a bit like that? You love Egypt. You love its flesh pots, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things take up your heart. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The friend of the world is an enemy of God. What a warning Lot's wife is to us. Remember her. You know, the way to hell is easy. What do you have to do to end up in hell? Nothing. Just carry on as you're going. Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. How wide is the gate? Well, the gate of birth is very wide. Every one of us go through it. But narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. What's that narrow gate? The new birth. It's a narrow gate, and it's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. Are you on the broad way to hell? So easy. Just drift along like everyone else, one of the crowd. Don't have to do anything bad, anything terribly bad. Just carry on as you've been all your life, and one day you'll die, and in hell you'll open your eyes, being in torment. How easy. People rushing along, as it were, a motorway, going at 70 miles an hour, going at 100 miles an hour, as it were, to the lake of fire. Hundreds, thousands, millions, billions of people on the way to hell. Are you one of them tonight? Remember Lot's wife. She perished. She was privileged. She had a godly husband. Peter tells us he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds that he was seeing around him. No doubt Lot often spoke to his wife about these things. She had his example and the example of their uncle, Abraham, but it made no difference. She didn't pay any attention. You know, you can be so close. You can be in a godly home, have godly parents, have a godly husband, a godly wife, and end up in hell. She was set upon the right road by the angels. She was told, escape for your life. Look not behind you. Flee to the mountain. But she didn't. She looked back. Remember Lot's wife. You can't serve God and mammon. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal, serve him. But then finally, we have a city of safety. Lot and his two daughters made it to the safety of Zoar. Lot interceded for that little city. Zoar means little. It's just a little one. Don't destroy it. We can't go to the mountains lest some evil come upon us, but spare this city. He wasn't really taking the destruction all that seriously, was he? And so it is here a picture for us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the place of safety, the city of refuge. Flee to Christ, like the ark in the days of Noah. Flee to the ark while the door is open, and there you will be saved. None perish, let him trust. Come to him, put your trust in him. And so there was safety. But it's interesting that when Lot saw the destruction that took place, He couldn't even feel comfortable and sore. He had to flee to the mountains to live in a cave with his two daughters. What a terrible thing God's wrath is. Who can understand the wrath of God? Why rage the heathen and vain things? Why do the people mind? Kings of the earth do set themselves and princes are combined to plot against the Lord and his anointed, saying thus, let us asunder break their bands and cast their cords from us. Why should we be obedient to God? Why should we serve him? We'll do what we like. We rage on in our sins and our pleasures and our godless ways. He that in heaven sits shall laugh. There's something terrible about the laugh of God. God doesn't laugh because he's amused. He laughs because he despises the folly of the wicked. I wonder, is God laughing at you today in that terrible way? He that in heaven sits shall laugh. Then shall he speak to them in wrath, and rage he vex them shall. Friends, we have to seek the Lord while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Remember how Paul preached the gospel to Felix, the Roman governor, spoke to him about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and Felix trembled. He was frightened. There was conviction with what Paul said, and he was convicted of his sins to the extent that he trembled. But instead of repenting, remember what he said, go your way. I'll hear you another time about this matter. When I've got a more convenient time, then I'll do something about it. And he never did. And Felix is in hell. How many there are who promise that they will seek the Lord one day, but they wait till it's too late. Are you saying, one day, when I'm a bit older, when I've done this or that, when I've got a job, when I'm married, when I'm settled down, when I've retired, then don't put it off. The road to hell, as someone said, is paved with good intentions. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God loves to pardon. Come to him, seek him, turn to him, flee to him, escape to Zoar. Don't wait. Come to Christ. Be sure that you're in the ark. Don't be like the others who laughed at old Noah. Don't be like the sons-in-law who thought Lot was joking. It's not a joke. It's serious. It's God's word. And God never tells lies. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Turn ye from your evil ways. Or why will you die? Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee that thou didst give us in thy word these serious warnings, and we pray that we would take them to heart and that we would flee from the wrath to come, that we would make our peace with God, that we would seek to be reconciled to him, that we would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour who all day long is stretching out his hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. O Lord, keep us from being arguing against you. Grant, O Lord, that we would give heed to what thou art saying, and that we would flee to Christ while there is yet time. So we put our trust in thee, we look to thee, and we pray for all our loved ones who are here tonight, that every one of them would come to Christ and be sure to be found in him. And so, to escape from the fire and brimstone which will certainly come upon the wicked, we thank thee, Lord, that there's a way of salvation and there's a place of safety. And may we come and seek that place. Pardon us now our sins and part us with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.